All right, let's give it up for the band leading us in worship. Man, I can't even imagine how difficult it must be compared to what a normal experience is. And yet, they're playing that new song, Graves into Gardens. And I think about all of the lives that God is trying to change. Church, I want you to know that last week, all over America, so many people tuned in to watch services online that we effectively broke the internet. I wonder if this is not an awakening that is occurring, that people are hungry to hear God's truth. We personally had more views this week on our video of worship in our makeshift studio. We don't even know what we're doing. Than we've ever had in the history of Genesis Metro. That tells me that we have an incredible opportunity, that people are looking for hope. As a matter of fact, I was walking by one of my neighbors this evening before I came up here, and I said, hey, do you need anything? And she looked at me and she said, freedom. And I thought, there's irony, because that's exactly what I'm going to be preaching tonight. And we left Jonah in the well, and we're going to finish up his prayer tonight. The prayer that was going to get him out. The praise that was going to set him free. And so as we're thinking about this message this morning, thank you guys for tuning in online. We hope that you would even share this right now with your friends. If you're watching on Facebook, you can hit the start a personal watch party button right now, and it'll invite all of your friends to watch this with you online. Last week, as we were talking about Jonah being in the well, and this week we're going to finally get him out, I was thinking about the status of our communities and our culture and our city, and I was reminded of a press conference that was held just prior to a Mike Tyson fight way back in the day. And a reporter asked him, said, are you concerned about the game plan of your opponent? He said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I think that America has been punched in the mouth. I think that all of us are a little dazed. We might even have a hard time knowing where we are right now. How do we gather our wits about us? How do we refuse to delve and dive down into despondence? I think that we can get into depression. I think we can get into despair because all of us are living in isolation. And as much as the most ardent person is who prides themselves in self-reliance, we need each other. We need community. It's the way that God designed us to be relational beings. And I hope that tonight I can help you. I can help you out if you're in that place. And then if you're out of that place, I pray that you would even grow stronger through today's message. In Jonah chapter 2, we left off in verse 7. He said, as my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. I thought about that phrase, my life was fading away. And I was reminded of a movie way back in the day that has become somewhat popular again, a cult classic, Back to the Future. Raise your hands, even if you're sitting at your homes, if you've ever seen the movie Back to the Future. Of course, most people in here have seen that. And there's a famous scene that I want us to watch together. And it was the scene where Marty had to play the high school dance in order for his parents to get back together. He was trying to right all these wrongs. And this is what happened next.
Excuse me.
Man, Marty almost didn't make it. As he was playing the guitar, you saw him slowly fade out of the Polaroid picture. Everyone might have to pause this video and explain to your children what a Polaroid picture is. But he was playing and he had it stuck in the end of his guitar. And as he was playing, because things had not gone the way that they had in the past, all of a sudden the thing that gave rise to his existence, those events had been altered. And as a result of the events that gave rise to his birth, he was beginning to fade away. I thought, what an incredible picture that Jonah, the things that gave rise to his existence as a prophet, was that he chose God. He said, I choose God. I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to follow after him. I'm going to preach about him. I'm going to be passionate. This is my purpose. And now all of a sudden, the things that gave rise to his existence, as a result of the rearranged events in his past, now the results are changing in his life. As a result of Marty's parents not meeting, Marty was beginning to fade. As a result of Jonah rearranging his priorities, he's now in the belly of a fish in the bottom of the ocean, and he feels like his life is starting to fade away. And I thought, man, that's probably how a lot of people feel right now. That it feels like my life is fading away. That normal is fading away. You know it's bad when kids are longing, almost screaming out, I want to go back to school. Never have I seen this, okay? This is some, we're in uncharted waters here, okay? We feel like when we can't go to work, we can't be productive. It's almost like the things that gave rise to our existence, if when we rearrange them and we misalign them, all of a sudden we feel anxiety. We feel like our lives are fading. As I was thinking about Marty McFly and getting back to the future, I thought as he was in the belly of that fish, Jonah was saying that the lights were beginning to go out, that the light was fading, my strength is fainting, and all of a sudden I just don't feel like the world is right anymore. And here he is in the midst of this whale and in the midst of this anxiety, the pain that we talked about last week, and he's praying, and he says, as my life was fading, I remembered the Lord. Now think about that for a moment. His strength, it was fading. His life was fading, but inside of him, because he had faith, it says that his spirit was fighting. It was fighting to remember. And I think that whenever we begin to feel like our lives are fading, it's a fight. It's a fight inside our minds. It's a fight inside our souls. It's a fight inside our hearts to remember God. Remember God as your life begins to fade, as your strength begins to, as your finances begin to falter, you got to remember God. You got to fight inside your mind to remember God. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, don't go down without a fight. Don't go down without a fight. Hey, kids, tell your parents, look at them right now. Don't go down without a fight. Parents, you look at your kids. Don't go down without a fight. Don't go down without a fight. There's something inside of our spirits that is saying fight. There's something inside of our spirits saying that, wait a minute, if everything that I once knew has been taken from me, could it be possible that I was putting my faith in the wrong things? Your mind has to fight not to go to these places. Whenever we're thinking about that mindset and guarding our minds, the great thing is that God's always going to throw out a lifeline. He's already given us his word. He's given us his church. He's given us his prayer. And during these times, how do we guard our minds from fading? How do we fight? I think that we always have to answer our anxiety with God's word. In 1 John 4:18, for instance, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. So faith and fear, they can't occupy the same zone. And so if we would learn to let God's love in, our faith would be able to overcome the fears that might be overtaking us. What word are you answering your anxiety with? If you allow it, anxiety will just continue to spread in your mind, in your heart, in your household. You have to find a word to stand on. I thought about our anxiety. I also thought about learning how to find contentment in the midst of the chaos. Another word that you could memorize, stand on, write down, put on your refrigerator. Paul said, not that I'm speaking of being in need. He said in Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Paul said, whether I have a lot or a little, I've learned how to be content. Man, the stock market got rattled so bad last week that a people that had a lot now have a little. The job market is rattled to where people that had a lot and had business, now they're uncertain. And they're feeling like they're going to have just a little. Man, I hope that if that's your family, that you could look to this verse, that you could look to this verse for hope, and you could say, Paul said, I found a way. I found a way. So it's possible. It teaches us it's possible. It's possible to be content even when things aren't the best. Have you found your household struggling with that? If you're like most, I think that everyone, because of the normalcy that's been disrupted, they found it hard, like the things that I was trusting in, the routine that I was trusting in, now all of a sudden it's changed and I'm having a really hard time being okay with it. Maybe God is teaching us how to be content without, so that we will learn to appreciate what we have. Not only when it comes to our anxiety and contentment, I thought of an interesting one, that we must discover humility even when we're hurting. I found that when I'm in great pain, I bet everyone that's watching right now, at some juncture, you've been in great pain. I'm talking kidney stone pain. I'm talking having a baby pain. I'm talking breaking a bone pain. I'm talking something where you were suffering. Isn't it amazing how good your prayer life is when pain hits you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you'll start talking to God real quick when you're hurting that bad, right? Prayer in the midst of pain, humility. Because whenever we're hurting, I think the only thing that we can do is ask God for help. We say, God, help me. It says that Jonah felt like his life was fading, but he remembered the Lord, and his prayer rose all the way up to the temple in God's presence, and he was saying, God, help me. He uses the name for God that's Yahweh, the God who is ever present to help. He's saying, God, I'm in so much pain. I'm in so much despair. God, can you help me? It's amazing that so many of us have so much pride that it takes a catastrophe of pandemic proportion to get us to realize that we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and say, God, help us. Maybe today, even after this service is over, you would gather as a family and say, God, would you help us? Would you help our city? Would you help our country? Would you help our church? Would you help our family find contentment and peace and joy even in the midst of the hurt? Jonah went on to say in verse 8 that the lesson that he learned was this. And this was kind of fascinating to me. He said in verse 8, those who cling to lying idols forsake faithful love. I'm going to say it again for you. Those who cling to lying idols, those that embrace lying idols, those that listen to lying idols, forsake faithful love. He posed it in a dichotomy to make it binary. And he said, you can't have them both. You can't have them both. You can't hold on to lies and embrace truth at the same time. Jesus echoed this same sentiment during his earthly ministry. He said, you can't love God and worldly things at the same time. You can't say that you're embracing the light and then live in the darkness. You can't be greedy and be gracious at the same time. You can't say that you're a person of peace, but you continually are contentious with everyone around you. You can't have them both. You can't. And I started thinking about it. Jonah was in the midst of this fish, and How was that working in his mind? How did he arrive at that truth? Because it's not like he had a physical idol while he was in the belly of this fish. He didn't have anything. So what was it that he was talking about? What lie was it that he had embraced? When I embrace the lies, he said, I'm forsaking faithful love. He had believed the lie that I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want, and God will be okay with it. Man, do you think we ever allow our desires to lie to us, and then we embrace that lie that we can do whatever we want, go wherever we want, believe whatever we want, and God's going to be okay with that? How can we live in lies and expect the truth to shine inside this vessel? Jonah found out while he was in the belly of this fish that the lying notion that he had believed in had deceived him. And now he was appealing to God and he was trying to return. He was fighting in his spirit to return to the truth, to rearrange the things the way that they should have been, to get back on track, because he realized this truth, that the lies that he had believed could not, at this juncture, while he's in the belly of this fish, while his life is fading, while his strength is fainting, at this juncture, the lies could not lift him out of the despair he was feeling. The lies could not love him while he was feeling all alone. The lying idols that he had embraced could not listen to his prayer of desperation. I wonder during this time if the things that are our values and our priorities and our purpose even, if they aren't being distilled, if they aren't being refined. I wonder if some of the things that we've trusted in and some of the opinions or some of the things, the earthly, whatever it is, I wonder if the lies that we've believed, when the covers are pulled back and when the truth is shown into those dark places, I wonder if we're actually getting an opportunity to say, you know what? I've believed some lies. I've believed I had false security when the world is not my home. The world is not the place that I look to for hope. Whenever we believe those lies, he said, I'm forsaking faithful love. Why would I want anything in this world that could be better than God's faithfulness and his love and his truth, that is like a rock that I can plant my feet and stand in the midst of any storm? And yet so many times we get distracted. So many times we find ourselves believing these things inside our minds and we're losing the battle inside our heads and our hearts. And Jonah said, I learned that running from God and believing the lie that I can do whatever I want, that hurt me. That hurt me. And that made me think, are the things that we're holding on to, he said, those that cling to lying idols, are the things that we're holding on to right now, are they helping us or are they hurting us? I was reminded of way back in the day. I mean, we're gonna go back into like grainy footage, America's Funniest Videos kind of thing. That I was, this thought came to my brain. I went and looked it up and we found it. We clipped it up and it's a little kid and he's caught a fish and he brings the fish up. And when he brings the fish up, like many children, he was afraid now of what he had. And so he sets his rod down and we can watch this video clip together. It's funny, but I think it's a picture of us. Wow, did you see that? He's running around screaming, ah! And it's a fish. It's a little teeny tiny fish. And it's on his rod and he's holding on to the rod and all he has to do is let go. All he has to do is lay it down and the thing that he's running from would quit chasing him. I thought, is that not a picture of Jonah? He said, if I cling to the lies, I'm forsaking faithful love. I'm choosing it. I'm holding on to, I'm embracing it. All I have to do is let go, lay it down. And all of a sudden, God's faithful love could fill the void that has been created by me embracing lies. I hope today that you would begin thinking about, what are you holding on to during this time? Are you holding on to self-reliance? Are you giving in to anxiety? Did you once believe your finances would save you, and now you realize that that is shaky ground at best to trust in? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to lay down some lies, to pick up some truth, and realize that God's faithful love is better than anything that is in this world. I'll wrap it up with this, and I got pretty excited about Jonah chapter 2, because I wanted to get him out of the fish, and I want to get you out of the fish if you're in it this morning. In Jonah chapter 2, it says, "But as for me, I will sacrifice to you, God, with a voice of thanksgiving." Now remember, he's in the hurt, he's in the pain, his life is fading, and his prayer in the midst of all of that, he says, "I will sacrifice to you. I will worship you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord." And the church said, "Amen." Now you say amen at home, because if you don't, I'm not going to preach the rest of the sermon. Okay, so salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. Oh, you're gonna have to praise your way out of this. If you wanna know how to get out of what you're in, Jonah said, "I gotta praise my way out of it." That's how you get out. That's how you move forward. That's how you get up after you've been punched and after you've been knocked down. You can't just say, "I love God when I'm on the mountaintop." You can't say that. You gotta love him in the valley if you love him on the mountaintop. You gotta love him when it's hurting. And you gotta pray to him and ask him for help. Sometimes it's hard for us to love him because we say to ourselves things like, "You know what? It's easy to love God whenever my dreams, like Joseph, had led me to be on top. But can I love him when my brothers betray me and I find myself in the dungeon?" David, it would have been easy to love him when he had slain the giant with a slingshot and he stood over him and everybody praised his name, but could he love him when he was on the run? I can love God when he blesses me, but can I love him when I feel like I've done the right thing and yet the people that have done the wrong thing seem like they're more blessed than I am? Oh, will you love him then? I think we're gonna find out a lot, church. I think we're gonna find out a lot about ourselves, about our faith, about where we're at. Because if I love the church and if I love God, then I have to make certain choices. And those choices are that no matter what, God is my foundation. For my family, like Joshua said, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." And if we make that choice, if we stand on that truth, oh, I'm telling you right now, you're gonna praise your way out of this. I think that every family that is watching this, you should give God the same sacrifice. Find something to share with your family that you are thankful for. Maybe even in the stream right now, everyone could start typing in something that you are thankful for. And maybe it's not an escape from the situation. Maybe it's an escape from the mentality that I'm in prison when I'm really not, because I can be free even in prison. I can have joy even in the midst of despair. It's all about my heart and my spirit and what I'm standing on. You can't have them both. I would choose the God who has been faithful to you, the God that has loved you every step of the path. It says, "Then God commanded the fish and it spit him out onto dry ground." Oh man, God got him exactly where he wanted him to go, even through all of the chaos, even through all of the struggle, even through all the pain. I promise you, he's taking you somewhere. He's trying to get you somewhere. He's trying to get you to figure out something. And the sooner that we get to prayer and the sooner we get to worship, the sooner that we'll praise our way out. Let's pray. Father, I want to ask in the name of Jesus that anyone that is watching this right now, that you would begin to speak into their lives, that you would give them truth, that you would allow them to experience grace. That God, that faith would begin to flood into their heart as they say, God, no matter what, even though I feel like my life is fading, I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna fight in my spirit to remember. I'm gonna fight in my spirit. Maybe through disobedience, I've wandered far from his house, but tonight, today, I'm coming home. Man, if you will begin praying to God right now, I promise you, somehow, some way, he does something in the spiritual world where he takes the burdens that are so heavy on our hearts and he lightens our load. He might not take it away, but I promise you he'll make it bearable. And on the other side, you'll look back and the things that hurt you, you'll find this crazy faith to be able to say, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to go through that because I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about your character. And I learned that I could love you on the mountain as well as the valley. And I promise you, your family would be better for it if we choose the faithful God in this time. Man, I was gonna read a whole psalm, but I got so worked up, I forgot. The gist of it is Psalm 46 is that God is our refuge. If you have time, I would read that today, and I promise you, you would be encouraged. Would you worship with us in your homes, at your workplace, wherever you're at? Can we say that, God, today you're gonna meet me here again, and you're gonna do what you always do. Can we praise him even when we feel like we're fading? Church, I think we can. Let's go.